Would you stand with us tonight? Perhaps what could be the last chorus that will be sung in this auditorium, in this crusade and conference. Would you join with us and sing this tonight?
Thank you.
Jesus be the Lord of all. For if you're not Lord of all everything, then you're not Lord at all tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I trust something has been sown and something has been planted. That when we leave this building tonight and the premises of this auditorium, that we will never be the same again. That somehow, we leave out new men and women, new youth, new souls in the sight of Almighty God. Because we have allowed Him to become the Lord of everything in our hearts. Would you lift your hearts to God and let's just sing it from the bottom of our heart as our prayer to God before we enter into the reading of the Word of the Lord tonight. Let's ask Him to be the Lord of everything tonight.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all.
The kingdom shall.
You lift your hands and just
Lord of everything.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
In your the Lord at all. For if you're not Lord of everything, then
lift our hearts to God and let's just love Him for a few moments tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Let's love Him for a few moments here tonight. Let's worship His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are reading tonight from the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. I would like to read several verses of Scripture in your hearing, beginning with verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Dropping down to verse 12. Ah, the preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done unto heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The greatest man outside of Jesus Christ that ever walked the face of this earth walked down 5 great paths. Those paths are easily remembered, for they all begin with the initial W. He walked down the path of wisdom. He walked down the path of wine. He walked down the path of wealth. He walked down the path of works. And he walked down the path of women. And when he came to the end of his road, to the sunset of his life, and the road's last bending, he looked back upon it, and he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. For a few moments of time this evening, I would speak to you upon the subject, the paths of disappointment. God bless you, and you may be seated just now. I am sure tonight that time would not allocate us the ability to speak upon each and every one of these pathways. But I want to bring at least a couple of them to you tonight for your consideration. And I think about the path of wisdom that Solomon walked down. I am immediately aware of the fact that Solomon did not have a capsule of a brain that was capable of tidbits of knowledge only. This man was a scientist. He was a philosopher. He was a moralist. He was a publicist. He was a historian. He was a poet. He had a mind that was trained to observe and to meditate. His imagination was most acute and most vivid. He did not speculate upon what he thought, but he actually knew things. He sailed the then known world over. He gathered and he wrote to solidify. He philosophized to broaden his views and that which he had gleaned and gathered. But in everything that Solomon learned and gleaned in this life, he missed the one essential thing in life. I think of a servant of God one time that visited a distinguished scholar, and he said, "Sir, if there was one thing in all the world that you would advocate every soul learn, if they never learn anything else, what would you recommend every man and woman learn in this world?" The distinguished scholar looked at the servant of God, and he said, "There is not one. But there are two things that every individual ought to learn. First of all, that I, the individual, am a great sinner, lost and undone without God. And secondly, that Jesus Christ is a great Savior and will save even to the uttermost tonight." And I tell you, if out of all of these services and everything that has been said and done, everything that has transpired, if we could come to the knowledge of those two truths, that I am a sinner, lost and undone without God, and secondly, that Jesus Christ is a great Savior and is able to save to the uttermost. I want you to know we would walk out of this building, college graduates, degreed with a master's degree diploma in our hands. We would have come in contact with the greatest knowledge in all of this world tonight. Can you say praise the Lord? It was so important that one writer in the Bible said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul?" And again the question was asked, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If your soul is on one side of the balances and it's separated from you, what would you put on the other side to tip the scales, to purchase your soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul tonight? I have some ifs I would like to proposition you with tonight concerning the worth and the value of your soul. What would it profit you if you be a great artist tonight and not know Jesus Christ, the one who is altogether lovely? What would it profit you to be a great architect and not know Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone tonight? What would it profit you to be a great baker tonight, but not know Jesus Christ, who is the living bread? What would it profit you to be a banker, but not know Jesus, who is the priceless possession? What would it profit you to be a biologist, but not know Jesus Christ, who is the only life tonight? What would it profit to be a builder, but not know Jesus, who is the sure foundation? To be a carpenter, but not know Jesus Christ, who is
of Jesus, who is the new and the living way tonight. What would it profit you to be a farmer, to farrow the ground, to till the soil, to plant the seed, and to harvest the crop, but not know Jesus Christ, who is the sower and the Lord of all the harvest tonight? What would it profit you to be a florist, but not know Jesus, who is the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon tonight? What would it profit you to be a geologist, to know every boulder, every rock, every stone, every pebble by name, every content, but not know Jesus Christ, who is the eternal rock of ages tonight? I'm preaching to you that I would rather know Jesus Christ than to have all the knowledge of the whole wide world tonight. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What would it profit you to be an astronomer? They know the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, the Big Bear, all the heavenly constellations, but not know Jesus Christ, who is the bright and the morning star tonight. What would it profit you to be a great horticulturist, to graft and regraft vines, to plant and transplant vines, but not know Jesus Christ, who is the true vine tonight? I'm telling you, I'd rather know the Lord of glory. He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. That means if we're the branches, and we're grafted into the true vine, then whatever is in the heart of God is in this church, and in my heart, and yours tonight. If there's power in the vine, there's power in the branches. If there's spirit in the vine, there's spirit in the branches. If there's life in the vine, there's life in the branches. If there's revival in the vine, there's revival in the church of Jesus Christ tonight, if we are grafted in. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel something moving around this podium tonight. Amen. What does it profit you to be a judge and not know the righteous judge? To be a jurist and not know the true witness? To be a jeweler and not know the pearl of great price? To be a lawyer and not know the sinner's advocate? To be a philanthropist and not know the unspeakable gift of God? To be a philosopher and not know the wisdom of God? To be a sculptor and not know the living stone? To be a student and not know the incarnate truth? Oh, my friend, what does it profit you tonight to be a sinner, to be a sinner, to be a soul apart from God and not know Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world tonight? I think we ought to praise Him if we know Him. We ought to praise Him again if we know Him in our hearts. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Solomon came to the roads last bending, and he looked back upon the path of wisdom. He said, I've gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. But he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and it's vexation of spirit. I'm still empty in my heart and destitute in my soul. I'm hungry in my spirit. I need something that the wisdom of life has not given unto me. Solomon walked down the path of wine. That's a path I have never understood. Had I preached one more night, I feel surely I would have preached upon the sin of forgetting God. And I feel surely I would have told you about the kind of a home, the kind of family that I was reared in. Broken home, habitual drunkenness. And I would have told you about unscrewing the caps off of booze bottles, pouring the contents into Florida sand, and lying and saying, I don't know what happened to it. I never saw it because I despise what it cost in the home and in the family so badly. I feel in the spirit tonight there's somebody here that's looked at this podium night after night and over this congregation congregation night after night with a feeling in your heart. You've always been preachers. You've always been musicians. You've always been singers. You've always been saints in the church. That's not so. There's men here that were drunkards. There's women here that were sinful. There are souls here that were thieves. There are hearts here that were bound by nicotine. And I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ has loosened those bonds, has broken those shackles, has set those souls free, and it'll do the same for you tonight. Our world tonight has what we call the social drink. Man, I don't understand that one. Social drink. Why in the world would anybody give me anything that would dim my eyes, dull my senses, tie my tongue, addle my brain, blight my life, and call it a social drink? You tell me, friend. Hallelujah. I let for old Crow to tell me, a harvester, or any other producers of spirits. Amen. Why would they give me that and call it a social drink? I think I'd be just as justified to serve you a glass of castor oil or milk of magnesia and call it a social drink. Well, it wouldn't taste much worse. And chances are it would do a whole lot more good. Praise God. When I was a kid, they had that little nursery rhyme. Said Jack and Jill went up the hill to get a pail of water. Jack fell down, broke his crown, something like that, and Jill came. You know what they're saying now? You know what they're teaching kids in nursery class now? Jack and Jill went up the hill to get some bootleg liquor. Jack went blind and lost his mind, and Jill is even sicker. Let me tell you something tonight. Our world is so drunk on the intoxication not only of alcohol, but sin in general tonight, that it doesn't know whether it's coming or going. It doesn't know its first name from its last. It doesn't know its correct address. It's forgotten its telephone number. And it doesn't even know its way home. Lady come to our church just a few weeks ago. It was after service. She came staggering onto the grounds of the church and she addressed one of the ladies of our church. She said, "Would you help me home?" The lady looked at her and said, "I'll be glad to. Where is your home?" She said, "I don't know." She's staggering in. We had to work with her an hour and a half to try to sober her up enough to find out where she came from. She was from a town 80 miles away and had just drifted into our big city. And under the intoxication of alcohol, she didn't know whether she was coming or going. She had forgotten where she lived. She didn't have her address. She didn't have her telephone number. She didn't even know her personal identity. She was completely out of it. What are you saying, Brother Coroner? I'm telling you that our world is drunk tonight. It's drunk tonight on the sin and the intoxication that the devil has brewed for the souls of humanity. No wonder we need a baptism of the blood of Jesus Christ. No wonder we need a baptism of the power of the Holy Ghost. No wonder we need a move of the Spirit of revival in our hearts tonight. I'll tell you, the only drunkenness I really believe in, and that's the drunkenness I've been feeling around here during some of this service tonight. Hallelujah. That's the drunkenness I felt around here during the service last night. That's the drunkenness I've been feeling around here 5 nights in a row. Amen. The writer said, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter stood up and he said, "These men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my wine. I will pour out my intoxication upon all flesh." I want you to know that's happening tonight. That's happening tonight. That's happening tonight. That's happening tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, tell me something, Brother Corin.
to walk down the paths that Solomon walked down. And I believe I could spend an hour and a half on each one of them and never exhaust it. If that's not the way to walk, how do I get off of the path of wine? How do I get off of the path of wisdom? How do I get off of the path of wealth? How do I get off of the path of words? How do I get off of the path of women? How do I get off of the path of sin? How can I find another path to walk upon? Jesus looked at Nicodemus and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again." Oh, but how can I? I can't re-enter my mother's womb and be born again. How can I be born again? And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Almighty God." I'm going to tell you why there's the necessity of a new birth tonight. I'm going to tell you why there's the necessity of being born again tonight. It's because of sin that's been placed into our lives, that's been resting upon our shoulders, and the guilt and the condemnation of it since the day we were born into this world. Matters not who we are, not what we are, what we have or have not done. We were born under the guilt and the condemnation and the load of sin because of Adam's sin, his prodigious pride, his sacrilegious step, his spiritual suicide, the murder that brought death upon the whole human race. The Bible said by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, but that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to be a bank robber. You don't have to be a murderer to be a sinner. The mere fact that we were born into this world and we breathe God-given air tells from you and that the load and the guilt and the condemnation of sin, it rests upon our souls tonight. How am I going to be born again, preacher? Not by joining the church. Church membership will no more turn you into a saint of God. Then it'll turn a parrot into a canary. Then it'll turn a leper into an art gallery. Then it'll turn a wheelbarrow into a Cadillac. Church membership's not what you want. I'm preaching to some hearts here tonight that belong to churches. I'm preaching to some hearts here tonight that have signed membership rolls. I'm preaching to some hearts here tonight that have shaken preachers' hands. But I want you to know that's not the answer. Oh, well, I need to be baptized. Let me tell you, just mere baptism isn't the thing that'll save you. I met a man in Mesa, Arizona that had been baptized over 400 times. And I want you to know he was as much a sinner when he came up the 400th time as he was when he went down the first time. It takes the complete death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ reenacted in our hearts through repentance, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the remission of sin, and that resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost evidence by speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance to make a new creature out of us in Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, I thank God for the sacrament. I thank God for the Lord's Supper. But I want you to know that's not going to make a saint out of us. That's not going to make a child of God out of us. There is a prominent doctrine going around called the doctrine of transubstantiation that believes when you take the glass of wine and you take the wafer that it literally turns into the flesh and into the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, which came at the time of the Passover, he said, "As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Oh, friend of mine, it's great to do. It's great to participate in. It's a sacred thing in the church of the living God. But that will not save you. That will not put you in the body of Jesus Christ tonight. Anybody that's ever read their Bible, just a half a dozen verses of Scripture, knows the Bible takes a very positive and dynamic stand for morality. There is no substitute for morality.
Amen. But I want you to know morality is far from being regeneration. It's far from being a complete change of heart and life. Men can be educated and to be courteous. Men can be educated and to be kind. But friend of mine, that does not change the inner man and the inner heart and the inner spirit. Reformation is not the answer. Reformation may be far reaching, but what we need tonight is regeneration that can reach down into the heart, into the spirit, into the core of a man's soul and make a new creature out of him in Jesus Christ. Oh, tell me something. Do I really have to be born again? The writer said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. The Bible said that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How am I going to get into that spiritual realm, preacher? How am I going to break out of just the realm of the flesh and get into the realm of the spirit where I can worship God from the very depths of my soul? Let me go back to the candlestick of every born-again child of God. When the Apostle Peter in Acts, the 2nd chapter, had declared unto them that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, I will pour out of my flesh, out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. He went on to tell them that they were the ones that had crucified the Lord of glory, and His blood was upon their hands. They were under the guilt and the condemnation of the crucified Christ. They were convicted in their hearts. They said, oh, what must we do? What do we have to do to get His blood off of our hands? What do we have to do to get our hands cleansed? What do we have to do to get rid of the guilt and the condemnation and the judgment of having sinned against the Lord of glory? And the Bible said in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, somebody shouted with me, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's praise God tonight. Let's praise God tonight. Let's praise the Lord tonight. And I'm going to near my close tonight by telling you, if you were driving down the highway and in the next 27 miles you saw 234 signs that warned you against going any farther, that warned you against going in the direction you were going, that warned you you ought to detour, you ought to take another route, I want you to know it would be a foolish man that would keep driving down that highway, but it would be a wise man that would stop at one of those signposts and turn and say, wife, we better go another way. Husband, we better find a detour. Family, we better go another direction. There's trouble ahead. There's problems ahead. I want you to know 234 times in the 27 books of the New Testament, the Bible warned of judgment to come. The Bible warned of the wrath of God to come. The Bible warned that someday we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of every word we've spoken, of every deed we've committed, of every act we've engaged in, of every place we've gone, of every person we've wronged, and every sin that has befallen our life. Oh, I'm preaching my heart to you tonight. I'd rather repent. I'd rather turn to God tonight. I'd rather take His name upon me in baptism. I'd rather be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'd rather make my way to Calvary and accept the propitiation of that atoning blood tonight than to keep diving down life's freeway and lose my soul. Would you stand and love God from your heart with me? Would you lift your hands and love God from your heart with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just love Him for a few moments here tonight. Hallelujah. I've tried everything Solomon said. And it's vanity of vanities. All
is the vanity and the vexation of spirit. When he came to the road's last bending, at the sunset of his life, without God, he looked back upon a misspent life, a misdirected course. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. If you don't have anything in the world, fear God. If you never go any place in the world, fear God. If you never have anything in the world, fear God. Keep His commandments. Hallelujah. Say, somebody probably forgot to tell you, when you separate from the world, you separate unto something else. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what you separate unto. You separate unto love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, temperance. You separate unto the attributes of God in your life. Keep the commandments of God. For this is the whole duty of man. Paul confirmed it when in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He could have approached it negatively. He could have said, anything else you do in the world is in vain. Anywhere else you go in the world is in vain. Anything else you accomplish in the world is in vain. But he said, whatever you do in the Lord, whatever you accomplish in the Lord, whatever you do for the cause of God, that's what's not going to be in vain. But that is what's going to stand forever and forever and forever. Little tune echoed down the street in Oakland, California. On his hands and knees, literally in the gutter, one elbow propped up on the curb, he heard the melody and the tune. That little chorus coming out of the door of the mission, send the light, the gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. And in his drunken stupor, bowed by the load of sin, he crawled down that sidewalk on his hands and knees to the door of that little mission. The ushers at the rear door turning, seeing his plight. One caught him beneath one armpit and the other one caught him by the other. And they helped him up the steps and through the door. And down the aisle they dragged him. Made his way to an altar of prayer. Hallelujah. I want you to know God sobered up a drunk man. God sobered up an intoxicated man. And God took a man who was a victim of white slavery. Sobered him up, forgave him of his sin as he cried for mercy. Filled him with the Holy Ghost. They baptized him in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, no fancy stairs to climb. No social stairs to climb. Just a humble heart that'll say, God, here am I, use me. Tonight that man stands somewhere in America behind a pulpit. And he's preaching the same message of salvation that I'm preaching to this congregation tonight. That if you'll just make your way to Calvary, repent of your sins, take the name of Jesus upon you in baptism, God will fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. He will make a new creature out of you in Jesus Christ tonight. I'm not telling you to walk down the path of wisdom. I'm not telling you to walk down the path of wine. I'm telling you to walk the Calvary road tonight. Make your way down the path to the old rugged cross at the hill called Golgotha and see what God will do in your heart tonight. Religiously disappointed, church-wise disappointed, Christianity disappointed. I'm pointing you to the Word of God. I'm pointing you to the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm pointing you to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm pointing you to the power of God and to salvation. Hallelujah. called my father Sunday afternoon before I left Jacksonville, long distance to Pensacola. I said, "Dad, I'm going to McAllen, Texas, going to preach a crusade." I heard his voice choke, and I knew that he was fighting back tears. Maybe he didn't fight them back, maybe they just let them roll. But he said, "Son, tell them. Tell them, son." I said, "Dad, I'll tell them." You know what he wanted me to tell you? He wanted me to tell you how God reached down amid bar stools. How God reached down amid a life of ill repute. How God reached down amid a life of brawling and fighting. How God reached down amid a life of struggling within himself. Amen. When W.E. Gamblin preached the Florida camp meeting one year, my dad didn't walk, my dad didn't trot. He got up and he ran down the aisle. 6 foot, 235 pounds of humanity ran down the aisle. And I want you to know in less than 10 minutes of time, he had lifted those hands to heaven's God. And God had filled him with the power of the Holy Ghost. And he began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You know what he wants me to tell you tonight? He wants me to tell you that God did that for him, and God will do that for you. No matter where you're from, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, my God will work a miracle in your heart tonight. Would you lift your hands and pray right now, church? I feel the strains of conviction. I feel the tug of Calvary's love reaching out for somebody that wants to come and pray. Hallelujah. Would you lift your heart and touch God? And if there are those souls under the sound of my voice that want to make your way to this altar of prayer, I want you to come right now. I want you to step out from where you're standing right now. I want you to slip down these aisles right now. Make your way into the holy presence of a holy God. Join these souls at Calvary and see what God will do in your heart and do in your life tonight. I'm telling you, you don't have to walk down a one-way dead-end street. You don't have to walk down a path of disappointment. You don't have to walk down a path of no avail, a path of vanity. But you can make your way down to this altar of prayer, and God will work miracles in your heart tonight. Let's lift our hands and pray, church. Oh, God bless these hearts that are coming. God bless these souls that are coming on the last night of crusade, on the last night of revival in this auditorium, on the last night of this meeting in McAllen, Texas. I'm telling you, God wants to do it again. God wants to do it again. God wants to do it again. The Holy Ghost wants to do it again tonight. God is no respecter of persons. He is only a respecter of sacrifices. He doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care what your name is. He doesn't care how cruel life has been to you. He doesn't care what you're bogged down in tonight. He doesn't care the sin that you're wrapped up in. All he cares is that you'll say, "God, I want out. I want deliverance. I want liberty. I want to be set free. I want to know peace in my heart. I want to know the joy of the Lord in my soul." Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I feel like there's a half a dozen souls that yet would like to come and kneel or stand, either as you please, somewhere about this front tonight and reach out to God. Oh, why go home miserable tonight? Why worry about the home being destroyed and the family broken up by the ravaging aspects of sin? Why go home and face the same horrible, shocking nightmares of the reality of iniquity in your life? Why dread the fear of eternity? Why experience the horror of a world without love, a world without forgiveness, a world without hope, a world without help? And that's what eternity holds if you do not make our way to the cross of Calvary and say, "God, I need you in my heart." Why don't you slip out and make your way right now? Oh, Yalabo Shandava Yatayalabahukata Yalalabaha. Oh, God. I'm telling you, I feel a cloud of Holy Ghost conviction moving over this building tonight.
Come on, young man, young lady, father, mother, tonight, that you need to pray. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to put everything on the altar. You need to put everything into the hands of the living God. Oh, preacher, I've never felt anything like I felt here tonight. I've never seen folks lift their hands and worship God the way you folks do. I've never seen a congregation clap their hands the way you folks do. I want you to know God wants you to be able to worship Him from your heart without any reservations, in the same manner, in the same sense tonight. Why don't you slip out? Just give God a try tonight. Just give God a chance tonight. Just give God an opportunity tonight. You've tried everything else. You've tried the drug world. You've tried the alcoholic world. You've tried the nicotine world. You've tried the sex world. You've tried a world of sin and frivolity. Why don't you give God a chance tonight? Why don't you make your way just one time and stand in the presence of God and say, I want to try Him. I want to try Him. I want every child of God to come tonight. Let's all gather and pray. Would you invite someone to come with you as you come? Preachers, we need you to help us pray. Preachers' wives, we need you to help us pray. Saints of the Most High God, we need you to help us pray. Amen. Several souls can receive the Holy Ghost here tonight. What a way to climax a crusade. What a way to climax a conference. What a way to climax a revival with hearts kneeling at Calvary and pray. And through and to the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's come and love God. Let's come and touch God. Let's come and believe God from our hearts tonight.